eats couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, a show about movies, as
and
seen
fat guys.
Through the eyes of two fat guys.
And, it's been like almost a month since you've been with us, because you were at South by Southwest, and we took a bye last week.
Oh, that's right, we did take a bye last week. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah.
But
we'll talk a little bit about Hot Tub Time Machine and How to Train Your Dragon later on.
Yeah, really, which, I mean, actually both good movies.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough.
Hot Tub Time Machine is better, but yeah.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, they were both worth the ticket price unless you, well, actually, if you saw How to Train Your Dragon in 3D, that's probably actually worth the ticket price.
Sure.
Now, we are going to talk about a movie this week that might not be worth the ticket price in 3D, The Last Song, starring Miley Cyrus.
No, totally worth it to see it in 3D.
We're also going to talk
awesome
about
in 3D.
We're going to let Kevin tell us why we shouldn't go see the next Tyler Perry movie.
Why I haven't
did
seen
I get
it
married
yet.
Too?
I will be seeing. Well, the plan is allegedly the plan is I will be seeing it, but not at the time of recording.
Oh, fair enough. And then we'll also talk about Clash of the Titans, which I'm told is coming out this week. But in the meantime, before
that.
We get to all of that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to FatGuysTheMovies.com. And see all. There's all kinds of new stuff on FatGuysTheMovies.com, and it seems like it's growing by the day. There's TV reviews. There's a second podcast and a second reel of Fat Guys of the Movies. And
yeah.
You know, my monthly visit to FatGuysOfTheMovies.com yielded tons of surprises, and it's very pleasing.
Awesome.
If you're into the show, you'll like all of that other stuff that's going on. You can also get us iTunes. You can go over to iTunes, search Fat Guys of the Movies, and join the people who are rampantly reviewing the show on iTunes.
That's right. We have some iTunes review. We will save
yes.
those for a later segment.
Yes, in the third segment, we'll read those off. And you can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And if you'd like to get us on Facebook, go to Facebook, search Fat Guys of the Movies. Pretty self-explanatory. Or you can get us on Twitter. I am twitter.com/rejects, and Kevin is twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's.
That is correct. And we do have some voicemails. Again, we will play all those in the third segment.
I can't wait. I'm riveted.
But yeah, before we I can tell. I can feel your teeth grinding. But before we start, speaking of something else we're riveted to talk about is the mm-hmm. last song. Let's go right to the reviews here. The last song, Miley Cyrus plays a troubled teen living with her dad in a summer I didn't write this very well. living with her dad in the summer, who learns about love and loss.
Dear Ronnie, please know that none of what happened between your mother and me had anything to do with you. I hope this summer will give us a chance to reconnect.
How's she doing otherwise?
You heard she got into Juilliard, right?
No.
She says she's not going.
Well, the word is you're from New York. So what are you doing down here?
My mom shipped me and my brother to my dad's for the summer.
Here's
this
what
movie
I want to... Can I ask you a question before we get into this?
No, you start, because you didn't see it.
I didn't see this. I actually didn't get an invite to the screening that I know happened, because there's one publicist here in Austin who I like. She's great. She just, for some reason, does not have me in her email
list. She spared you?
But she spared me. And also, it was the same night as a Hot Tub Time Machine screening. And I guess, I mean, which one would you choose? Let's be real here.
Oh, I totally would choose Hot Tub Time Machine.
But what I want to know is, Miley Cyrus plays a troubled teen. What does
yes.
that really mean? What? How troubled is she? I mean, is she doing drugs? Is she
no,
having
see,
sex?
It's very safely in PG territory. It's not even PG-13.
That's disappointing. I want to see her go out on a limb and play a troubled teen.
Well, first of all, she was 17 when she made this movie. Give her a couple years, and you know, because there's two ways to go in terms of breaking out of that Disney squeaky clean mode, because you can become like Lindsay Lohan, which is just ripping everything off
just
the walls and then puking over it all. Yeah, or you can do it the Anne Hathaway role, where you take some choice roles that have artistic merit and show your boobs. Those are your options. But she's still 17, so it's very PG.
Right.
It's It's very safe, but it's not Hannah Montana. It's she's her parents are divorced, and she has to go live with her dad down in, again, it's a Nicholas Sparks movie, so it takes place in like Savannah, and so she lives with him, and you know she had a shoplifting record, and she's kind of rebelling, and she's just mad at the world.
Have you seen The Runaways yet?
No, I haven't. I'm actually seeing that tonight.
I can't. Well, we're going to talk about that next week. Yes. And I cannot wait to see your reaction to 15-year-old Dakota Fanning in that movie.
Oh, I'm more excited to see Vampires.
Vampires?
Isn't it the vampire movie with Kristen Stewart?
Oh, jeez.
Anywho, back to the last song. This is the thing. It's a Nicholas Sparks book, and he actually executive produces this movie. If you don't know who he is, he did A Walk to Remember, or he wrote A Walk to Remember, The Notebook, Nights at Rodanthe, and Dear John, which just came out a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't like his stuff. His stuff is all very formulaic. It's somewhat forbidden romance, and then somebody dies in the movie. It always has somebody dying in the movie for whatever reason. So you can lay your bets at the beginning of the film as to who's going to bite it by the end of the film. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, if you like that sort of thing, if you like Nicholas Sparks stuff, because I was surrounded by people who loved it, and it was like just people sniffling, and it wasn't because, you know, nobody had, you know, it wasn't like a lot of people had colds. They were crying and bawling during this movie and all wrapped up into it. It's actually a brilliant move for Miley Cyrus because she's not... Mm-hmm. She's not a terrible actor, but she's not a great actor. But she does okay in the role.
Right.
But it's a very safe stepping stone out of Hannah Montana because all the girls that were like 12 when Hannah Montana started are like 15 or 16 now, and so they are totally interested in this movie.
Right.
So it really latches onto her key audience. But again, it's very safe. It's PG. It's Touchstone, which is a department of Disney. So it's still in a very safe role. And you know, she's not doing any, you know, she's not like in a bed sheet like that Annie Leibovitz photo shoot. I mean, it's a very safe role for her.
Translation, and it's kind of boring.
For me, it kind of sucked. I mean, it wasn't awful. That's the thing with these movies is they're, you know, like Dear John was okay. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't great. I mean, it was competently made, and it was well constructed. I just didn't like it.
Fair enough.
And I didn't like this one. But the audience is going to love it. But I'm going to say it kind of sucks.
Okay. Moving on, we have the next movie we're really not going to talk about it. It's Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married 2? ? To make more money. Duh.
This is paradise.
This is what we need.
Every year, four couples get together.
I asked Marcus for the password to his cell phone.
What did he say?
What? To try to answer one question.
Why did I get married?
Why did I get married too?
The guys was out on a jet ski.
Margarita. Oh, what?
Can't understand women.
A happy woman
makes a happy home.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, I actually saw Why Did I Get Married, the first one, and this one, it's literally taking the same people. The story, the basis is you got these four couples that go take a vacation every year, and in the first movie they went to like a ski resort. Now they're on a tropical beach, and it's just them fighting and dealing with each other. It's Tyler. It's like any of Tyler Perry's movie, only without Madea, which is the best
See,
part of his movies.
That's where Tyler Perry gets himself into trouble when he makes a movie without Madea.
Are you kidding me? The first movie did phenomenal business. Not as it should have, but it
anyway.
Did.
So if you liked Why Did I Get Married, you'll probably like Why Did I Get Married 2.
Exactly. This is a weekend for people who want to see the movies they want to see.
Fair enough. When we come back, we're going to talk about another movie that people might want to see. And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and we've moved on from the Tyler Perry
wheelhouse
movie and the Miley Cyrus Nicholas Sparks collaboration to the big movie of the week, which is Clash of the Titans, a remake of the 1981
yes.
movie directed by Desmond Davis. And with stop motion animation by Ray Harryhausen, a classic. In that it made Harry Hamlin interesting, and also starred Laurence Olivier as Zeus.
Have you seen the well, okay, let's
clearly
go ahead.
I've seen the original.
Let's play the trailer.
But here's a clip in which Perseus goes head to head with the Kraken, literally in 3D, at least most of the way.
Have you seen what's happening out there? Have you even bothered to look?
They need to be reminded of the order of things. Turn them on each other. Release the Kraken!
One day, somebody's gonna have to make a stand. One day, somebody's gotta say enough.
If I do this, I do it as a man.
But you are not just a man.
Before we go with the review of the new movie, have you seen? I know you've seen the original Clash of the Titans, but have you seen it recently?
Yeah. Have I seen it? I just watched it like 2 weeks ago when I reviewed the Blu-ray.
Okay, so yeah, I just recently saw it with my kids. And the one thing that like disturbed me the most about the movie was...
About the new one or the old one?
The new one is... Did you notice how enormous Harry Hamlin's nipples are? And you
Sam
can't
Worthington's nipples are not quite as big as...
Sam Worthington does not have the Perseus in the nipples department type thing going on. One thing that is notable about the original is it was a PG movie at the time because the PG-13 didn't exist. It had nudity in it. It had breastages and some bums, some lady bums in
it. Well, and you know, there are some clear differences, I think, in the new film. The new film, I think, takes more of the story is obviously different,
it's
better or for worse.
Similar enough. I mean, it's similar enough. It hits all the points, really.
But it really, they kind of, to me, took a lot of the story about the gods out of the new one. You know, the new one is about, you know, Perseus having to go and it's the same story, where he has to go and he has to figure out a way to defeat the Kraken so that Argos won't be wiped out.
Yeah.
But it's there's slight little tweaks here and there. A few things that I liked. I liked the character of Io, which is played by Gemma Arterton, who was the last Bond movie.
I like her.
And I liked that character up to the very end where that character...
Let's not spoil anything.
I don't want to spoil it, but there's a moment that character has in the film's third act where you're just like, really?
Yeah.
And that character wasn't in the first one. But then there are some things that annoyed me. There's a cameo by Bubo, the owl.
I love the Bubo cameo.
I think it makes no sense,
awesome.
Though. What's he doing there? Like, that's my question. Like, what's he doing there anyway?
No, but it's not that it was a nod to the fan. I thought
totally.
I thought that was the funniest thing in the movie.
There was a few nods to the fans, but I think the Bubo one could have been done much better. Like, it could
I thought
have been in the background or something like that.
Totally disagree. It was such a throwaway, and it was
you know what it was. You know
and what
was
brilliant about it
about
is
that?
you heard it first before you saw it, and that's why I'm like, oh my god, they're not going there, are they? And
you know,
like,
you know what annoyed me about it. Every time they did, and the movie, it really comes down to some script issues. I think I liked it better than a lot of the people that I saw it with.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of script issues, and the Bubo thing to me is like a hey, look at this. Like, there were several of the, hey, look at this moments, you know, in this movie. And also, Sam Worthington's character of Perseus has to tell the world that he wants to do things as a man about 100 times.
That got a little... I mean, the scripts... Here's the thing with Clash of the Titans. It's not a great script, but...
Definitely not.
For sort of like that April kind of, you know, not quite summer release, I think it works... Fine. I mean, and you put it up against a lot of, like, if you talk just big action event movies, I mean, it's the script's no better or worse than, say, like, Transformers 2 or G.I. Joe. I mean, you're not putting it on the level of, you know, where Star Trek was a really well done script and that sort of thing. It's just, it does what it needs to do, which is tie together these really cool battle sequences, is really what it was. And then going back to the original, there was a lot of problems with the original script-wise, too. I'm like, whoa. Because I hadn't seen it in about 15 years. So, yeah, that has...
Well, and I think there's a lot to like. I think that it in 2D, if you're not a huge fan of the original, I think this is a completely passable sword and sandals type flick. And I love the fact that mythology is coming back. I love a lot of the effects in the movie. I didn't feel the action beats were very well strewn together. They all everything just seems to kind of happen in this movie, and the characters seem like a secondary thing. Mm-hmm. But I liked the action. I thought it was Louis Leterrier, who directed this, also directed The Incredible Hulk and the second Transporter movie, and he's got an eye for action. Mm-hmm. He just normally has a better eye for character, which I think is what is striking about this movie, is that
I don't know if you can say that about much.
Like, the Hulk was an excellent character piece.
Well, not Transporter 2.
Well, Transporter 2, you already know the character by then.
But what I'm saying is that it's not like he has this rich history of doing awesome characters. He's
proven himself to be much better with it. And I feel like it's almost a clear situation where he's working with a subpar script.
Yeah.
But overall, I think I enjoyed it. I was really, really, really incensed with the 3D.
Okay.
The post-production 3D on this, because there were a lot of moments. Like, I really want to go back and see it again in 2D, because there were a lot of moments where the 3D, like, a character in the background would be out of focus, but they would be coming at you.
Yeah.
I had a few moments like this in Alice in Wonderland, and it's this post-production 3D process where it's not meant to be in 3D, but they're forcing it. Like, there was one scene that I remember in Clash of the Titans specifically, where a character turns his head, and he's supposed to be in the forefront in 3D, and his neck gets really long.
Yeah. I know.
So there's the 3D is just, it's annoying. I feel like it's damaging to the experience.
This 3D is
really cool if you do it right.
This is where I disagree overall with that. I mean, on the whole, yeah, the retrograde for 3D, the conversion process is not perfect, and it's not the way to go. You know, in an ideal situation, I don't think
they should really ever do it.
I don't think anybody's going to make the argument that it's just as good as if you shot for 3D. But the bottom line is, the studios they're retrofitting some of these because they make a lot more money. I mean, Alice in Wonderland,
well, that doesn't make it a good idea.
Oh, not for the studios, it does. I'm just
for their pocketbooks, but it doesn't make the movie any better. In fact,
this is the whole point. You're nitpicking, and this is the thing, a lot of people I know who are film journalists and critics are nitpicking the 3D as opposed to going in and people just going, because a lot of people don't really notice that. Your average person doesn't notice that. It's sort of like the film professionals. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily a good process, because it's not. But at the same point, you get people who are complaining that they're going to be shooting things in 3D, and they're like, "Oh, they shouldn't shoot Transformers or Spider-Man in 3D." I'm like, "Well, take your pick. Do you want it to be at least originated in 3D, and then make that choice, or do you want them to retrofit it? Because I don't think the retrofit works, but you know they're trying to fill them. But here's the thing. Let me say one more thing about this.
Okay.
The walk and talk scenes where you have people talking and it's just people either talking or moving around and it's nothing happening in the big summer event type thing. Those are where it breaks down and it looks goofy and it looks weird.
I think it's in the action.
No, in the action it's not, because if I'm not mistaken,
movies are too fast for it.
But what I'm saying is the 3D process on like the Kraken and the giant scorpions looked good because it was just rendered in 3D. They didn't extrapolate the actual visual effects. They just re-rendered the visual effects.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's one example of what I think kind of... I went out for food with the rep. You know how they have a rep there taking all the quotes from... And they take quotes from not only from press, but from regular people as well. And he said the number one complaint from the regular audience was that the 3D was like, it strained their eyes. It wasn't interesting. Like,
okay.
3D should provide depth.
Yeah,
and I don't think the post-production 3D, especially in this movie, provides any depth. And I feel like this movie is one example where the action moves way too fast for 3D. You're always going to have ghosting no matter what you do. Even if it was shot in 3D, I don't think it would look great.
Well, no, you're right. And I think if it originates in 3D...
I think normal people are going to notice it. They're going to notice it, especially if they're having to pay like $14 for their ticket.
I don't know. I think they nobody cared about it. Nobody... That argument didn't wash for Alice in Wonderland, and I think you have the same problem.
Alice in Wonderland wasn't this bad. Alice in Wonderland had some really cool, slow environmental shots that looked good in 3D.
Yeah.
This movie really, there was no scene where I was like, oh, that looks cool in 3D. There were scenes, me seeing How to Train Your Dragon in 2D, where I was like, oh, that would look cool in 3D.
We gotta
go.
This
movie, none. But we'll be back.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Well, first of all, my general grade for Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yeah, we didn't grade that movie.
It kind of rocks for me. I mean, it's not a total full-on rocks, but it kind of rocks.
I feel like, for me, there's two. If you go and see it in 2D, it kind of rocks. Mm-hmm. It's a decent film. If you go and see it in 3D, it's going to kind of suck.
Okay. Yeah. But getting back to the 3D discussion, I just want to... All I'm trying to say is, was the 3D perfect in this movie? No. Did I think it ruined it? Because I'm seeing a lot of people, like, I mean, I've literally seen people going, awful, such awful 3D, it ruined it. I'm like, I don't think it ruined it. I think if you go to a lot of movies, you'll notice the imperfections in it. I didn't think it ruined it. I think, honestly, the action sequences where, like, the giant scorpion battle and the Kraken and the Medusa scene, I thought that's where the 3D really actually worked, because it was mostly CGI anyway, so it was rendered that way. Even like the opening shot is like going through space and you're going through clouds. Well, that's just a re-rendered, you know, that's all in the computer, so they just mm-hmm. re-rendered that. So I thought that's where it worked. It looked goofy during the you know, just the people dealing with other people. And I think the average person, your average person, isn't going to really notice a difference. I mean, you're going to get the movie fans out there, but... And of course there's the fact that the people pay more. And the question is, I will go if I were a paying customer, and I've done this too, because I've gone and I saw like Final Destination, I saw My Bloody Valentine, I saw these movies. I paid to go see them. Mm-hmm. Would I go see, if I had a choice between a movie in 2D and 3D? Every time I'll pick 3D, even if it's crappy 3D, even if it's cop out in conversion 3D. If I had to go pay to see it, I'd pay for it in 3D, because we're talking a couple bucks more. You're already paying $10 to see it; might as well pay 12 or 13.
Well, see, here's where I disagree in the fact that people will go see this movie in 3D, and it won't wow them. There's wow 3D stuff like Avatar, Coraline, Up. Like there's wow 3D. And they're going to wonder why it's not wowing them. Yeah. And I think it's important for us to say why it's not. And I think really there is a difference between post-production 3D and 3D from the start. And there's a big problem with the post-production 3D where it's not impressive. You know, 3D should, in my mind, it should really be impressive.
Well, that's true. But I think there's a lot of people out there and a lot of bloggers out there who are using this as an example of saying this is why 3D sucks, and that's not true.
That's not why 3D sucks.
But I'm not saying you're saying that. But I'm saying there's a lot of people. I mean, like, take for example, Devin Faraci just wrote this big long article. I saw his thing. He hates 3D, and he was on there talking about how it's gonna, you know, how this is the beginning and the end of 3D, which I actually think it's the opposite. Now, the only reason you're only gonna have to deal with this conversion process for maybe another year, because because now they're just gonna start shooting everything in 3D. Now, if they shoot it correctly or not, they may not. They may not quite understand the. I mean, it's not like Avatar, which Cameron knows and understands 3D a lot. But I mean, like when they shoot Spider-Man, that's just gonna be shot from 3D from the start. And I think after the ones that are in the pipeline now that originated in 2D that they want to release in 3D, you only got so long that's going to be in the conversion 3D. You're only going to see this showing up in like when they make Star Wars in 3D and re-release it. I think this is not a problem with 3D. This is a problem with the conversion 3D, which I've never really liked. But I really don't think it's a lasting problem. I think they're just going to start shooting everything in 3D unless it's like, you know, Precious. You know.
Well, I mean, I hope you're right, and I agree. This is an example of what's wrong with one type of 3D.
Okay.
It's not an example of what's wrong with 3D. I think 3D could be a very cool, you know, especially if it's used correctly. I've never liked 3D that's gimmicky. I've never liked 3D that isn't impressive. There are some impressive 3D movies, and I think, you know, the new Spider-Man movie might be really impressive in 3D because they're shooting it in 3D.
Yeah.
But I think and I do have a problem because they just raised prices on 3D, you know? So I think it's important to mention that while the prices of 3D movies are going up, there's some that are worth seeing in 3D and there's some that might not be. Like How to Train Your Dragon, definitely worth seeing in 3D.
See,
like
I disagree. I thought that was completely flat from the beginning to end.
I saw it in 2D. And I saw scenes where I was like, that would look cool in 3D.
There are some neat scenes, the flying scenes and like the big battle at the end of How to Train Your Dragon and like the scene where they go into the dragon's lair. Those were cool in 3D.
Mm-hmm. They're impressive.
But really honestly, that I really felt that Clash of the Titans worked better in 3D than How to Train Your Dragon did. But I'm not a big fan of How to Train Your Dragon. I thought that was somewhat a flat, kind of a storyline. It was okay for what it was. I didn't think people were going gaga and just gushing over that movie. And I'm like, it's okay. It's no Kung Fu Panda for stuff that DreamWorks. It's better than Shark Tale, not as good as Kung Fu Panda, somewhere in between. And so I mean, that's where, I saw it in 3D and I'm like, yeah, there were some cool shots. There were some gimmicky shots in 3D, but overall, I thought Clash of the Titans worked better as a 3D movie, even if the process didn't look as good. There we go. Okay, clear your throat.
People like Kevin Carr will like movies like Clash of the Titans in 3D.
In fact, if they re-released Gentleman's Bronco in Broncos in 3D, I would totally go see it.
So what you're saying is that people who are as dumb as you or dumber will like this movie in 3D.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I can get behind that assessment.
Yes, and since I'm a genius, everybody is dumber than me.
That's probably actually true.
Anyways, let's move on and talk. Before we do box office, do you want to do box office first, or do you care?
Let's do a review. We got all this house cleaning stuff to do.
Okay,
we should let some people review us.
There, yes. Okay, well, we got some iTunes reviews because I went and I begged people to put some on.
Yes, and you should, because as we're about to prove, we will read them on the air.
Yes.
The first one from March 5th was from C. Praiser, or Praiser.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I listen to you guys every week. I listen to you guys every week for more than a year now. Most of the time, the reviews are spot on, and you guys pretty much have my taste in movies. Keep up the good work. I'm glad that our taste agrees with your taste.
Even though we never agree.
Sometimes important, I guess. So you're conflicted. You have two personalities.
You really
should seek professional help.
Where it matters on stuff like Star Trek and Up and that stuff, we tend to agree.
Well, I mean, we're...
When it matters.
I think we're, in general, pretty good at picking out good movies. It's the mediocre ones like Clash of the Titans that are easy to disagree about, because they're not...
Or stuff like Glove Guru and Gentleman Bronco. Those are the ones where we disagree.
They're just not clearly good movies. Anyway, the next one is from Deckard 1982. I would assume that that's the person's birthday, and that they are big Star Trek fans. Or big Blade Runner fans, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've gotten to know Kevin a little bit over Facebook and Twitter and in the bedroom, and he is a genuinely nice
guy. Whoa! I don't remember that being in the review. I read that review.
His opinions are at times surprising, and by surprising he means completely wrong.
Okay,
the same with Neil, although mine are not surprising. Mine are always
Yours are very completely wrong sometimes.
Both of these guys are funny and informed and have an appreciation for film history. Which means we've seen movies before 1980.
Oh, now he's making us sound respectable. We can't have that.
Yeah, I know, right? I've been listening to their show for a while now and look forward to it every week. Well, hopefully you're looking forward to this particular episode, which I'm sure is about to derail any moment now.
Yes, and you have now a small measure of fame, which is better than a slap on the belly with a wet trout.
Yep.
Yes, I just went there.
I don't know what that means.
We also have some voicemail. This one's actually an older one. This is from Thomas from Seattle. He's a lawyer, by the way, so be careful what you say. He's a lawyer. He'll sue your ass.
So?
He should, because your ass
is... What's he going to sue me for?
He's going to sue your ass. Not you. He's going to sue your ass, because your ass is
problem. What did my ass do?
I don't know, man, but I'm sure it's got arrest warrants in, like, 3 states already.
Hmm.
He's got the death sentence in 12 systems. So, anyways... here's what Thomas had to ask. So basically, the Scorsese effect. You call it the auteur effect, isn't that?
Yeah, you have a director who is famous for, having a certain style and having a certain amount of control over their own movies, and then you, so they sometimes I guess they might get a pass. In my mind, there is no pass. It's just that they make good movies. Like Shutter Island. I don't think Shutter Island got a pass from critics or anything. Decent film, Scorsese.
But it's not great.
You just come to expect certain level of quality from certain directors, and when they hit it, they hit it. When they miss it, they miss it. But there's a reason why Scorsese is Scorsese, because he very rarely misses that level of quality that people have come to expect from him.
Yeah, and I think ultimately Scorsese, yeah, his probably his best work. My favorite film of his is Goodfellas, by the way. But I mean, you can look, Taxi Driver was excellent, and you know he's done some great stuff. I mean, his more recent, with the exception, I love The Departed, but like you know, The Aviator was okay and stuff like that. But I mean, he's done some crap, but I don't think he gets a pass for stuff like Bringing Out the Dead. In fact, I mean, he gets railed for that all the time.
Well, and I think too that it's just like it's hard to then put them in context. Like Scorsese's mediocre films are better than 80% of directors' best films.
I don't know. Sometimes. I mean, are you throwing like Bringing Out the Dead in that? I mean, because that was a
no,
crappy
that's just
movie.
Bad. But like The Aviator, okay. The Aviator is not a bad movie.
Yeah.
The Aviator was still better than maybe 60% of the movies, 60-70% of the movies that came out that year.
Okay.
You know, and that's one of his more mediocre movies.
I'll buy that.
So.
Well, you want to move on to the next voicemail,
sure.
And I don't know if this is gonna if Thomas's voicemail is going to stop Meryl from leaving voicemails, but Meryl Barr from the. From the Idiot Boxers, my co-host, he had left a voicemail as well, and let's see what it has to say.
Hey, Fat Guys, Meryl here as usual. So this week's topic, I recently just got done watching Arnold Schwarzenegger 1993 classic Last Action Hero. I have a feeling that this movie would have worked 10 times better if it was made today, and I think it would have been well received if it was made today and didn't star Arnold Schwarzenegger. So my question to you is, one, do you agree with that? And two, what movies do you think came out in the old days maybe that weren't so well received that maybe would work better today? All right? And again, as usual, I will stop leaving myself a second. Someone else starts leaving him. Later.
Okay, so Last Action Hero, you know, would it have been considered a better movie now? I mean, if it came out now as sort of like a satire, would it have been better than and better received than it was in 93? And are there other movies
I mean, it was a satire back then as well.
Yeah.
You know what? Last Action Hero to me is kind of like a little cult movie. There are people who get the joke and really like it, and there are people who don't get the joke who think it's just a dumb movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a dumb movie. It's like, there's actually a lot that's very smart about it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's very. Very cleverly written, very cleverly delivered, and it is the movie that it's essentially a satire of.
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone's any smarter now than they were in 93. You know,
yeah.
Like it's not Mel Brooks, so no. I don't think I think it would be received about the same.
Yeah, I think there's very few movies that were they to have been released at a different time, they would have done better.
Right.
Every now and then there are ones. Like a Slither. Slither was a fantastic movie and a fantastic satire. Nobody got it when it was released in, 2005
right.
or whatever. If it had come out in the 90s, I think it would have done much better. Simply because it was closer to the period it was spoofing.
Right, that was kind of what was in at the time.
Yeah, and same thing, I'll even throw another one out there, like Mallrats. I think Mallrats would have actually done better if it would have come out in the 80s instead of the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, and it was because it was so. Because if you look at like Kevin Smith, with his movies, you expect after Clerks, you expected another Clerks, and you kind of got it. But it was really paying homage to directors who are very different than the stuff he puts together.
Mm.
John Landis does not make Kevin Smith kind of movies.
Right.
You know, Animal House is as great as it was, and as funny of a director as Kevin Smith can be. He doesn't make Animal House movies. So it was him, somebody satirizing something or paying homage to something that's not kind of in his own little type of movie to make. So I think...
Well, I think these movies, they're influenced by those eras. You know, like yeah. Mallrats was... Kevin Smith grew up in the 80s, so...
Yep.
You know, that movie wouldn't have existed without that era.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard
and
to
I
say.
And I think if Mallrats were made today, would have done way better than... You know, it's for some reason right when it
well,
was
not
made.
Not today, because Kevin Smith would charge all of us to go see it, and none of us
well, that's
would like
right.
it. So,
which, by the way, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to let people know this. I'm going to videotape this. I'll put it up on YouTube so you can see it. I'm going to actually mail $9 to Kevin Smith.
Nice
for my review of
so that you can legitimately say something bad about it.
Yeah, which I have, and
I
think
we didn't
what
get a chance to talk about that because we were off, but that just it's perplexing.
I think
to see
I think
filmmaker react so harshly to critics in such a public and direct manner.
Yeah, I think he's just ultimately the bottom line is I think Kevin Smith has a very thin skin,
yeah,
and he hasn't grown.
he a lot hasn't thinner grown than people thought.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's his skin's thin enough to fly. But, you know, he is one of those people who has not grown as an artist, so to speak. I mean, he's really... Which, it's okay, but I think he it's okay if you're Michael Bay and you're just like, all I want to do is make kick-ass action movies and have all this awesome shit happening right. and blowing stuff up. I don't really care about growing characters.
Well, I think even Michael Bay has grown technically over the years.
Well, technically, but
his
I mean, he's not...
better now than they did.
But he's not trying to make a better sort of like overall character story
to
film.
Yeah, no, he's
just
making his movies.
Yeah, and I don't think he wants to. He's not achieving for anything beyond that in terms of character and story. So there's nothing wrong with him just sort of languishing in that because that's what he wants to do. I mean, it's like if you just want to write, you know, if you want to write Pulp Fiction all your life, that's cool. If you want to do it, I think secretly Kevin Smith wants to do something more, but he can't get out of his own, you know, cocoon. And anytime he starts to try, because Cop Out was a little bit of going out of his comfort zone, as was Jersey Girl, and when it doesn't go well, he just reacts. And I think the other thing is, you know, it used to be, you go back 10, 15 years ago, Kevin Smith, he would talk to his audience in, like, speaking tours, or he'd write a book, and even, like, maybe 10 years ago, he had his own little blog. But now it's so immediate, and I mean not just his Smodcast, but Twitter. Whatever he thinks pukes out onto his keyboard, and some people really need to have a filter, even if all it is to sit down and think for about 10 minutes. Should I write this and put it out there?
Right.
Because he made the comment. I think he said this about the Southwest Airlines thing, where he's like, "Oh, I didn't know that people are going to pick it up." I'm like, "You tweeted it to 1.6 million. How do you not know that you have?" Over a million people follow. You do know that. You do. I call shenanigans on that.
Right. Exactly. So
sadly.
What are you going to do? Anyway,
yeah.
What was
I'm going to send $9 to Kevin Smith. And I'm going to do it by... Yeah, I'm going to... Yeah.
Put it on the YouTube.
That's right.
Anyway, I think we're going to talk about box office, right?
Box office real quick. How to Train Your Dragon did okay, but not spectacular.
$43 million.
I blame Jay Baruchel.
Yeah, he was a little out of place in that movie.
I just don't know who he's sleeping with. You know, he's like he and
someone high up at Paramount, because he's in every one of the movies.
Yeah, he and
but
he
hey,
and
good
Sam
for
Worthington.
Him.
I know. Yeah, I don't know how that happened. He and Sam Worthington are like the two people that are like, where the hell these people come from, and why are they starring in movies? Not why are they in movies. Yeah. Why are they headlining movies?
Yeah, exactly. So,
but that did okay. Hot Tub Time Machine sort of came out soft, which is a little disappointing. But apparently, it's just caused problems for MGM even more than
right,
and it's a shame because it's a funny movie.
It's a very easy movie to take in.
Yeah.
And then Alice in Wonderland finished second in between the two, $17 million, and Bounty Hunter and Diary of a Wimpy Kid finished out the top five.
Which, by the way, Diary of a Wimpy Kid was pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a kids movie.
Well,
but sort of like that Nickelodeon kind of stuff.
Right.
Sure.
This week, Clash of the Titans in 3,700 theaters, The Last Song in 2,600, and why did I get married? The Tyler Perry movie in 2,100 theaters. What do you think? Clash of the Titans, I think, is a clear...
Oh, it's going to win.
...front runner.
But I think it's going to be a monster weekend, because I think The Last Song's going to do incredibly well, because it's going to they're all hitting different markets. You have the Tyler Perry sort of African-American Christian audience, and his movies always do phenomenal. You have Miley Cyrus hitting right in her demographic, and people love those Nicholas Sparks things. So, yeah, that's going to do well. And then Clash of the Titans, an event movie. I actually think this is a bold prediction. I think it's actually going to – I think all the bad buzz, because it's getting a lot of bad buzz, I honestly think the bad buzz is going to help it, because people are going to be like –
Well,
really?
Now I have to see how bad this is.
Yeah, I want to see if I want to see. I want to look at this 3D. Is it as bad as people are? Because people are going apeshit over that 3D in this movie, and I'd like to. I really think it's actually going to help it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You might not be wrong there.
But I'm still
thinking
in the
50s. And I think it's very similar to Alice in Wonderland, because I think Clash of Titans is really the first event movie of the year, the first big event movie of the year. So I wouldn't be surprised if it pulls in $100 million.
It would be cool. That's a bold prediction. I'd love
Alice
to see it break.
Did what, 110?
Yeah. No. But
116. I wouldn't be surprised if Clash gets up there.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's way up there too, because this, if you look at the time frame this year as last year, you know, came out this weekend last year was Fast and Furious, and it made like what, $72 million, and nobody saw that coming.
Yeah,
and that was not a good movie.
not a good movie. At least Clash of the Titans, like I said, worth seeing if you see it in 2D, or if you're curious about what bad 3D looks like, go see Clash of the Titans in 3D.
we probably should go. We're gonna have to. Do you want to just not do the Fat Guy Five?
That's fine with me. I wasn't a big fan of our Fat Guy Five this week anyway.
We'll skip it. I might post it later anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting. But when we come back, we'll round up DVD. We'll get you out of here in the next 3 hours. And we are wrapping up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. I think we've kept you much longer than we normally do, but
yeah.
Lots of interesting topics, especially since we've been off for the last week.
Yeah.
But
you for 2 weeks, because you were at South by Southwest.
Yeah, which was a blast, by the way.
And we had a great co-host. I've dubbed Fozzie Bear and Kelly Gingery as your watch-out people. Because they're
Yeah. Well, they're going to replace me on Fat Guys.
Yeah, they're both good co-hosts, so better watch out. No, I'm just kidding.
Be careful what you wish for, guys.
We love
one
you.
Of these days.
We love you, Neil Miller.
Oh, that wouldn't actually be that. They could take over if they want. Whatever. See how it works out for them. Anyways, time to move on to the world famous DVD Roundup. And it would not be the DVD Roundup without apparently Kelly's picks on the notes this week. But
it is Kelly. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we have An Education, which was the Oscar-nominated film starring Carey Mulligan. I think this is probably, given the fact that it made about $4 million at the box office, this is a good chance for everybody to rent it or buy it and check it out. It's a good movie.
Find out what all the buzz is about.
Yeah, and then also I Sell the Dead, which is actually a very fun little horror comedy.
Okay,
with Dominic Monaghan from Lost. I enjoyed it.
I saw about half of it at the Ohio at the horror movie film festival last October, and I don't know, I wasn't terribly impressed, but it was kind of a rough experience. So I think maybe if I watched it at home,
you know, it's a good Saturday night rental.
Okay.
Yeah, it's with you.
Is the second half better? Because I thought that the first half was a little soft.
It's a little bit better in the second half, yes.
Okay, just checking.
Anyway, moving on.
My picks. Let's start off with the ones that are going to get you raging first. Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel.
I can't even believe that's not the stinker.
Why would it? It's a cute little movie. I mean, yeah, again, for kids.
Just because it's for kids doesn't mean it can be dumb and uninspired.
Dude, David Cross is hilarious. Did you actually see it?
I did. I have it sitting over there.
Did you like David Cross?
I watched most of it.
David Cross is pretty funny, especially at the end. It's worth sitting around and watching the end of that movie to see what David Cross does. Trust me. There's also Sherlock Holmes. Which I enjoyed better a second time. I liked it better on Blu-ray just watching it again, because I guess the anticipation, and I didn't quite know what to expect, you know, the first time and the second time. It really did work out. It was good. I liked it. And also, of course, by the time you hear this, the whole event, there was a live, BD Live type thing you could listen to Robert Downey Jr. talk about it on April 1st, on April Fool's Day, which why would anyone schedule anything on April Fool's Day? Alice in Wonderland, Disney re-released the double disc. They just brought it out of the vault. I don't think it's really even a new release, but it's the double disc of the original 1951? Is that when it came out?
Something like that.
Yeah. And then IMAX Under the Sea, which is...
I have yet to watch, but I imagine that's kind
of
cool.
It's cool, and of course, so it was shot on IMAX, so it looks fantastic on Blu-ray. You know, so I mean, because it's full definition. Well, it's not IMAX definition, unless you got a, you know, an 80-foot
tall
screen.
Unless you have a 100-foot tall television.
Yeah, exactly.
Which so, I do, by the way.
You do? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Stinker, instead of the Squeakquel, I have to say is Steven Seagal, Lawman, season one, because isn't he like a deputy?
Interesting choice.
I will admit I haven't watched this, but I wouldn't wish a season of anything with Steven Seagal on anybody.
Fair enough. I think I'd probably agree with you other than the Squeakquel. I think the Squeakquel belongs in there too. But hey, you know what? Your kids liked it. That's all that matters.
Can we talk real quick since we have a little bit? Can I throw in a couple picks from last week since we didn't have a chance to
Sure,
Because
you got some shit you want to shill for.
Well, no. Well, you know what came out on Blu-ray was Toy Story 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
That's totally worth talking about. Don't you think?
Awesome.
Yeah. The Toy
Story
movies.
Fantastic. Go buy them now.
You also have The Blind Side, which... Okay. Yeah.
Which, you know, is worth seeing, worth renting.
Yeah. And, well, you know what? And this is something they did. The Blind Side actually has better, and which is not uncommon. It is not uncommon to see something that has better... special features on the Blu-ray than on the DVD, which you know, I mean, if all you want is the movie, get the DVD. But I mean, if you really want the cool stuff, get the Fantastic Mr. Fox, Crodmandoon. Did you see Crodmandoon in the Flaming Sword of Fire?
I did not.
That's actually pretty awesome. It's funny. I wish it didn't get canceled after one season. And The Men Who Stare at Goats. Those are one I just not even shilling. I like The Men Who Stare at Goats. I thought it was actually pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then again, you never listen to me.
Not really.
Yeah. So let's do review wrap-up.
I try not to.
You try not to.
Anyway, time to wrap up our reviews. The last song Kevin saw and said...
kind of sucks, but you know what? If you're a teenage girl like Neil, you might want to check this out.
Why Did I Get Married 2? They did not screen, so it gets a preemptive suck. But I have a feeling if you already know whether you want to see that movie.
If you like the first one. Again, if you like the first one, you're going to love this one.
Yep. Clash of the Titans, I said kind of rocks in 2D, kind of sucks in 3D.
I said kind of rocks all around just because it was fun. My kids loved it, too, just to let you know. They're 6 and 8. So.
You and the kids. The kids loved it. They're... Anyway, but,
for the children.
Budgeting movie critics.
Yes.
Moving on, next week we've got The Runaways and Date Night. Hopefully I get to see Date Night. I've already seen The Runaways, so maybe I'll be 2 for 2 next week. Who knows?
Awesome.
But in the meantime, you can get us over at fatguysofthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Please go over and review us. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. Or get us on the Twitter or the Facebook. Either way, you will find us, and you can leave us messages, and we will read them. As we've proven this week's episode, we'll read them on the air, or the pre-recorded air, or whatever. I'm done talking. Until next week.
Thank God.
Release the Kraken!